Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
And we are,
you good over there?
Stuck in my throat. Pause.
Oh, damn it.
We are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, we can't reveal what we were tweeting about earlier just yet, but all I'm going to say is I'm excited for this game to come out. That's all I'm going to say. We are so close. Tomorrow, I think they're releasing a Road to Glory preview for the college football video game.
Yeah, they have not been promoting Road to Glory at all, which kind of scares me a little.
No, I think that, if anything, the opposite. I think, if anything, it's telling that they feel that they've got like a really exciting piece of the game that is going to be really drawing a lot more people in. Somebody tweeted out, Bengal, who's a very big Madden YouTuber, tweeted out that he thinks that it, I think it was Bengal. It was either Bengal or MMG. I forget who it was, but they basically said that Road to Glory blows any of the other Madden superstar modes out of the water, like completely. So hopefully it's good. Hopefully it doesn't
stink. Well, I don't want any of those. It, you know, what do you call them during the video games? Like the interruptions, like you got to talk to people.
Oh, the cutscenes. No, that's going to be in it. That's going to be in it. You should expect that to be in it.
All right, well, I don't like those. But you know what I want? I want to be able to run my own 40.
I doubt there's any draft stuff. Well, that was in Madden. They put that in Madden.
No. Listen,
yeah,
young grasshopper. In the old days, when you played Road to Glory, you had to pick a major, okay? You had to answer all the questions.
1998?
I mean, you were still in diapers, so yes. You had to have an all major. You had to answer questions, okay, for tests. I wrote all of them down and hung them up on my wall, okay? So, oh, yeah, dude, you're not even privy to what the real gangsters of the NCAA.
I didn't know that any of this stuff was in the game.
By the way, I was a fullback in – I picked the University of Florida during Listen. I picked a fullback – and I went to the University of Florida. Do you want to know who the quarterback was that I had next to me? It was one Tim Tebow. By the way, my overall was 99. I was a fullback that ran a 4.2 340. Okay, and all you had to do was press X like this.
Okay, so what the hell were you doing the whole time? Were you just blocking the whole time? Why would you pick a fullback?
So glad you asked. In the old games, you can pick who the tailback was. So, yes, I had the ability to block, okay? Not only that, but I could carry the football. And they used a lot of double back packages. They used 12 personnel a lot.
You're a real sicko.
I was in. By the way, there were backfields with me and Percy Harvin.
You're a real sicko for doing this. Fullback. A fullback in a video game.
2,700 yards and 22 touchdowns. Tebow also ran for 2,000 yards. Uh-huh. We were unstoppable.
I'm sure.
You don't remember the glory here.
I didn't play this version of it. The other version. The last version in NCAA 14, I will say, was
Yeah, you had to play high school, which sucked.
What? The high school part was the best part. You were just running around a bunch of undersized kids. It was hilarious.
No, I hate
that. Oh, come on. Don't poo-poo it.
Well, in Louisiana, the small school, like a small team, you play like, you're playing undefeated Midland. And I'm like, Midland has a population of 7. Okay, like
yeah, it never was very accurate. There was never any accuracy with it.
I played New Orleans high school. There is no New Orleans high school.
Okay, obviously that there was not going to be the level of accuracy that you're looking for. But today we're not talking about the game though. We've got actual headlines that we got to get to. Surprisingly busy day today.
Oh, who are you telling?
Yeah,
you got me going. You got me doing things today that I never thought that I was humanly possible. But well, we can't tell
yeah.
all.
Yeah, yeah, don't get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Nevertheless, we'll talk about Big 12 Media Days. Mike Gundy coming out with some very big words. I know that it's hit the airways, Joe, and a lot of people apparently are upset. But other Big 12 things, such as expansion, was discussed in these media days.
Yeah, the Gundy thing, we have to talk about it. I think that it's concerning commentary for him to put out there, and we'll get to that after the break. The expansion talk is really compelling because I don't know if it's what everyone thinks it's going to be, with Florida State and Clemson being the ones that jump ship and are the ones that are the first to move and they go to the Big 12. I think that they have higher aspirations. I wouldn't be shocked if we don't see somebody else pull the trigger and start to cause the next landslide, which I've projected and kind of predicted is what I think could happen multiple times on this show. But Blake, it feels like this is more imminent than I think we realize. Your Mark wouldn't be saying this if he wasn't having conversations with somebody. There has to be some truth to this. He is not a shit talker just to say things. He is the type of person
Something like this, he pulled a rabbit out of his hat.
With Colorado.
So we'll talk about the playoff expansion. The expansion potentially of the Big 12. Joe, I'm kind of happy. I'm rooting for Brett Yermark. I don't want there to be two big super conferences. I just don't. I want to keep as much traditionalness that we can in this sport as long as we can. So I am rooting for the Big 12. Also, Dave Aranda had some big words today. I love Dave. Okay, but I think that Dave said some things that if any coach in the SEC would have said them today, the fan base would have exploded. Just saying that he gets lost in the details, you can't go out there and say that. And I think another part about Dave, you know, that I love is that, you know, he's like, well, if you're a head coach, you got to go from A to M in a blink of an eye, but I want to do A, B, C, D, E before I get to M and worry about M. He, you know, it's just not set to Dave Aranda's skill set, you know, and so we'll talk about Big 12 media days. Also, yeah. An Ole Miss deep dive that could be pretty interesting here tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about Ole Miss, man. I think that there is a lot of potential for this Ole Miss team, and we've hinted at it. We talked a lot about them during the transfer portal movements and all of the massive moves that they were able to pull, but this Ole Miss team is geared up and prepared to be the best that we've seen them have in the past two decades or more. This almost feels better than the team that they had with Robert Kimdichie and Laquan Treadwell.
Oh, heavens, yes.
Yeah. But those guys were, and Laramie Tutsil, those were a bunch of five stars. This Ole Miss team doesn't necessarily
have the premier defense.
Yeah. They don't necessarily have the premier first round picks that team had, that Hugh Freeze had, but they're a lot deeper. They're across the board very competitive. And, man, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't end up finishing as a top four team in the conference.
Definitely could be up there. On paper, they are one of the more talented teams in the SEC. Okay? What they've added along the defensive line with Nolan, you got Ivy in. You have Princely Umanyelen, who had seven sacks a season ago. Look, there's just so many different things, and I think that they got the best corner in the portal. I don't care what anybody tells me. I know what I saw in Trey Amos. I know what Nick Saban saw in Trey Amos. You know, Joe, there's something to touch about when Kool-Aid McKinstry went down in that SEC championship game. Joe, they targeted him three straight times, and he was the one that had the two pass breakups that flipped the script for Alabama in that game. So, look, I think Ole Miss is going to be very interesting. I talked about them 2 weeks ago, and it got a LSU and Ole Miss fans were going at it, buddy. Could they run the table? Yes. Could they run the table for everybody not named LSU and Georgia? Yes. We'll get into it, but, man, they're going to be a really good football team, and we'll talk about them. So lots to get into. Don't have lots of time to waste. Joe, let's get right into it. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups. If you're on social, if you're on Facebook, share all of those social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Joe coming up on 7K subscribers here in year two of Ruffino and Joe Show. So if you haven't done so already, hit the subscribe button, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. We're back next. We got lots to discuss. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag. So it's interesting because Brett Yermark could say that, and we kick off Big 12 Media Days, and it look, obviously the biggest headline coming out of Big 12 Media Days was Mike Gundy, and I'm going to start there. Obviously, Ollie Gordon, the very electric, very good running back, was arrested on suspicion of DUI last week, and then Mike Gundy comes out, and look, I'm just going to paraphrase. Go watch the video if you haven't seen it. But Gundy comes out and says, basically, man, I looked up what his blood alcohol content is, and it's 0.1, and the legal limit is 0.08, and it's like having four beers. Well, that's not what they found in his car. They found an open bottle of tequila. They found an open bottle of vodka. Like, I know that he's trying to – I know what he's trying to say. Like, hey, man, the kid wasn't that drunk. The kid had a couple of drinks. He drove home. He was fine, but he got pulled over. I know what he's trying to say. But, Joe, in no world, regardless of no world is that acceptable. Like, he basically what Mike Gundy came out yesterday and said was, I am not suspending my high-profile player, my best player on my team, in week one. So get over it.
So, I, by the way, I'm not sure how good my connection is right now. It's giving me – am I good? Yeah. Do I look clean?
I mean, you look like you're
– but you can hear me.
Windows. Yeah, we can hear you. It looks like you're streaming through Windows 98, but –
yeah, probably. I've had consistent internet this whole time in this house that I'm in for temporarily. I don't know why suddenly it's not working. But to the point one, the full quote, the full snippet that he has to say, not defending him, but he very, very poorly phrased trying to say that a lot of people were making mistakes of driving over the limit without even realizing it. I think that's what he was trying to say, because when he clarified this morning, that was kind of what his follow-up statement was. But it doesn't justify him stating what he did. I think the bigger issue here is less to do with Ollie Gordon driving with open alcohol containers in his car. And
is Gundy saying it?
And Gundy saying what he did. The biggest issue you hear, Blake, is that it really highlights and puts a spotlight on the fact that a lot of coaches downplay off the field actions by players. And it happens either in the extent where they'll cover it up, or again, they downplay it. They make it seem like it's not that big of a deal. He said it so blatantly without realizing he was making the statement of, well, we need him to play. He might've gotten a DUI. He might've been arrested, but we need him to play. And now he's getting paid, and now he's being held accountable and needs to be on the field. I think that that is the bigger issue that comes from this. And I think it's a bit ridiculous, and one of the worst parts about football, that at times there can be a lack of accountability from coaches across the sport. There should be accountability. I think he should be suspended. You need to learn something from making mistakes and having bad actions. If he misses the game against South Dakota State, that doesn't hurt them to a massive extent.
Three quick things. Number one, he could have ended it by saying we're handling the matter internally. Number two, he should have pivoted. There's no reason why Ollie Gordon should have been there, okay, at Media Days. Look, Mike Gundy was famous for saying the obvious quote, I'm a man, I'm 40, write something about me. Well, how are you a man 40 plus clearly and not know what, like Joe, like, come on, you know what four beers does versus what he's accused of doing.
Yeah.
Like, well, I just was looking up on the Google machine and it says it's like having four beers. No, it's not. Joe, any police officer, any DA, any judge will tell you the alcohol blood content that when you get to the jail and they run your blood or you do a breathalyzer is not what it was when they pulled you over. It's going to go down. Then you have the adrenaline factor of you being arrested that spikes up and the blood alcohol content goes down. This is so foolish from him. So blatantly foolish. Yeah. By the way, on a week where our good friends over at Crane & Company, you know, Blaine Crane coach Kyrie Jackson, right? Like, was in a position room where he coached Kyrie and was killed by a drunk driver, alleged drunk driver, right? So I look at this and say, like, hey, man, this has got to be the worst PR I've ever seen in football. And look, it is what it is. Do I think the kid should be suspended? It's not my reason. Like, you know, look, let me say this. Everybody is innocent until proven guilty, okay? And I am willing to stand by that premise. However, when you have two open bottles of alcohol and that is your blood alcohol content, no, that is not okay. And look, one more quick thing. I have made mistakes in my life.
Yeah.
Okay. God knows in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as us two Catholic Italians sit here, God knows I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. They just because I've made mistakes doesn't make them okay.
Right. Well, this is what I think that Gundy was trying to say, but he so poorly worded it, is that he's trying to point out that a lot of us get behind the wheel of the car when we shouldn't. And there's a lot of truth to that. It doesn't justify us taking that action when we're in our early 20s. And you're the DD and you have a couple of beers while everyone else gets drunk when you really shouldn't be driving at all and you should be Ubering.
Uber.
But, right. But the biggest point here is that why the hell did Gundy think, hey, this is a good idea. I should elaborate further and continue to draw attention to this. Let Ollie Gordon answer the questions. Let him be accountable for himself. I actually appreciated the fact that he did come with the intent of being accountable for what he did, but it just so happens that Gundy is such a dumbass that he spoke in such an idiotic way that it drew more negative attention on the situation, where now we're in the convo where folks outside of the college football sphere are weighing in on it and sharing their thoughts without really fully investigating and knowing what's going on. So Gundy, for crying out loud, please, for the love of God, just think before you say dumb shit before you do. But I still stand by my point that, yeah, I think that there should be more accountability when guys get trouble for doing things like this if there is some form of legal recourse. Just like if a kid is struggling in school, they need to focus on their academics. Like, that's something that's important that I think gets definitely swept under the rug.
Well, yeah, but you know, him not going to class isn't going to kill anybody.
I know they're very, very different things,
I get what you're saying.
There's a wide range of ways that college football players are allowed to skirt accountability, and the lowest end of the scale is failing your classes, and then the largest side is getting a felony, getting arrested, and doing something that could have gotten somebody killed or even worse than that.
I mean, Joe, we had a basketball player at Alabama that apparently gave a bag to a former player that killed, and a gun was in the bag and it killed someone. Now, legally, you can't charge him, but the kid was never suspended. You know, we've set a precedent that is, and look, I'm not going to say a bad precedent. Again, I think we got to get back to a place where innocent until proven guilty. Joe, there's a lot of cops that do some shitty shit, okay? Just throwing that out there. But he should have said we're handling the matter internally and go from there. And if he plays, Joe, I keep him out for play one. Keep him out for a drive. Who gives a shit? Like, I mean, it's just not, you know, it's just so crazy. And I think that Gundy just, you know, look, It is what it is. And it's, let me, I don't want to go down this route because this, I don't, I kind of want to move on from it.
Yeah.
But it's not like Mike Gundy hasn't had some bad PR moments. Oh, right.
Tons.
And oh, during the whole Trump and Biden thing, you know, when he was making, wearing the MAGA shirt or whatever it was, like, you remember that?
Oh,
like,
and it was the right wing news network.
Whatever it is. Like, and look, I don't care about your politics. Be Republican, be Democrat, be independent. I don't give a shit. But you know when you wear that shirt what it's going to do.
Yes.
Regardless, you know, Mike Gundy making a fool of himself. All right. Oh, and by the way, we got to talk about the players right quick, the rated players. If
Oh, let's get to that at the end after the
okay. Yeah. All right. Joe, any other Big 12 media day news that you want to hit on here?
Well, as we said in the beginning, the expansion talk is really starting to heat up. There were remarks that were made by Brent Yormark in his opening statement, which, by the way, I got to say this. I've maybe mentioned it before. I'm a big Brent Yormark fan, man. He goes up there and he talks shit. It's really appropriate that they have this partnership with WWE because he goes up there like he is a fight promoter. The way that he goes up there and makes these comments,
very
he is
passionate.
Not like Gundy where things slip out. He is very deliberate and pointed when he makes statements and when he says things. The way that he answered these questions is very a lot of proof of that because some of the questions were trying to trap him and he just kind of brushed them off. But the two things or the three things that stood out were pointing out we're the third best conference right now, which points out that they're ahead of the ACC. Everybody's smart enough to figure that one out. He said that without saying it. He also said that he'll do whatever it takes to make them the number one conference, more shit talking. And then a step
Which
further.
Which is unrealistic.
Right. And then the step further is that he stated that they're always open for business. Now, there have been, I saw somebody tweeted out that multiple people have tweeted out to this point that there have been conversations, allegedly, between Florida State and Clemson. We don't know the total validity of this, but it sounds like that there could be some speculative conversations. I think it's really not worth it for Florida State and Clemson. That's the most succinct way to put it.
Well, remember 3 weeks ago we came on the show and we're talking about the All-State 12, remember? So from a financial aspect, Joe, if they get an influx of cash that large, now what? So let me break. I know what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. But if you're Florida State, like for example, if the ACC gave $100 million a year, I don't know. It's an extra $10, $15, $20 million to the school. That's more than what Florida State's making in the ACC. And look, there are rumblings.
I don't think our math is correct here. I don't think our math because the Big 12 is still pretty low.
They're at 25 to 30 million a year, Brent Yormark said in the interview.
Yeah.
So Joe, if you're a school and you're getting an extra $20 million a year, LSU is an example I know for a fact, and the SEC team's got 50 million. So that's what if you combine that, he ain't wrong.
All right, but, well, let's avoid talking about the semantics of the media deal because like we're not going to get this right. We're going to be wrong on projecting this because that doesn't we're I'm telling you right now they make significantly less. If Florida State and Clemson joined, then the total allotment amount would have to, for each team, would go down. Each team would be making less. They would also be probably making less than what they're making in the ACC. So they, in order for this to happen, there would need to be some sort of a decision by, I forget which broadcasting network has the Big 12 rights. I believe it's Fox.
ESPN.
No, I don't.
And Fox.
Okay. Well, see, this points out I don't know the total details of this. They would need to agree to give more money in order to take on those teams to make it worth their while.
So where does the All-State 12 thing come into play here?
Well, we talked about that, and the amount more that they would be getting per year is only, I think, 10 to 12 or 15, somewhere in that range. It's not significant enough that I think it would truly entice them. This is my whole point, though. Is that does it get them more money and does it make them more competitive and does
if
it make
you
them
give Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina? It does.
You think that they would want to associate themselves with the current? They seem like they hold themselves to a very high regard. I'm not talking down on the Big 12, but they seem like they hold themselves to a very high regard. Do you think that they are the types of programs that would consider?
I think if Florida State was gonna, I think if Florida State or Clemson were coming in the SEC, we'd already had rumblings about it by now. I mean, the worst unkept secret was Texas and Oklahoma coming into the league. Right? I mean, like,
I feel like that was pretty abrupt, though. Was it not?
I mean, it got dropped the day that A&M got to SEC Media Days, but it was all rumor. And a Texas A&M guy was the one that released it. But, I mean, that had been conversations for years.
I just don't think that it provides Florida State and Clemson what they're looking for to move on.
Who says that he's talking about Florida State and Clemson?
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. Because I think that everyone is assuming that because they're the ones who are screaming the loudest about wanting to leave, that they would make the most sense. Because like you bring up, there's been no rumors about them joining the Big Ten or the SEC. But the reason why it doesn't make any sense is that you're complaining about the competitive advantage and the ability to be a larger presence in the college football world, and you think that the ACC is holding you back. It almost has less to do with money and more to do with the fact that they feel like they're being held back. Why would they go to the Big 12 where they would just go right back to being the two top dogs and then a bunch of teams that they're going to think that they're much better than?
In their court case and leave the ACC.
What do you mean?
I mean, they still are going to – I mean, you're going to have to pay, what was it, Joe, $100 million, wasn't it, to leave at the ACC? So you're gonna pay $100 million to go to some other conference. It's not going to pay you that amount of money.
That's what I'm pointing out. And you're also going somewhere that's not as
regardless, competitive. It's not just Florida State that's in that boat. It's everybody that was in the ACC a year ago would owe that amount of money. It's not just one school. It's everybody, right? I mean, if one school owes it, every school owes it. Here's the bottom line. I think Brett Yormark has talked to schools. There's no way that Brett Yormark runs out there today and starts talking about that if he's not moving behind the scenes and doing things.
Yes.
We don't know what's on the surface, but alluding to the All-State 12, Joe, he's hinting at something. Regardless of what we think or Blake, the semantics of that don't work. Okay, well, the semantics might not. But what is he discussing? Because what he's discussing is, hey, we're open for business, which is, Joe, to everybody in the country, we are about to do some stuff. He's saying that because he is saying that we're getting additional revenue. And I think that he feels confident that they're getting additional revenue. Regardless if it's the All-State 12, Rudy Pooh business is going to be giving them money, it doesn't matter. That's why he's saying that. Now, what I also would say is today about the Big 12 and realignment, I think he's a dumbass for saying that he's better than the ACC. They are not better than the ACC.
Oh, what? No, come on, man.
They're not better than the ACC.
They are better than the ACC.
You got three ACC playoff teams in football, and you're going to sit here and tell me that they're better.
That was before realignment. I think there's pretty good proof.
Before realignment, Florida State and Miami have been in the ACC.
After they just added Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State, and then the previous round, Houston, Cincinnati, BYU, they are the better conference. They are deeper. Think about all the deep dives that we did. All the amount of teams that we talked about that are in contention to compete to win the Big 12. That, to me, is a good conference.
Being competitive doesn't make you better.
I would argue yes, because the ACC is so grossly top-heavy that all these bad – Boston College stinks. Virginia really stinks.
Bill O'Brien might do something.
Boston College is not going to be a good team. They're going to get wiped by the teams.
Well, you can talk about Boston College, but for decades in the Big 12, Kansas did exist.
But they, to this point where there were all of these horrendous teams in the Big 12, how crazy is it now – that all of these teams that historically haven't been good are arising, and then there is deep competition. Because there's not
Texas or Oklahoma in that conference.
Sure, they're gone, but it is more competitive. The last five teams in the Big 12 would kick the shit out of the last five teams in the ACC. It wouldn't even be close. It would be so lopsided. So that would be Cincinnati, Houston, BYU would beat the crap out of UVA, Boston College, and I'm trying to think who else fits into that.
I don't know if they'd beat the shit out of UVA.
Yes, they would. Who does UVA have? Anthony Calandria is a walking turnover.
Well, I mean, didn't UVA? I mean, they upset some teams last year. Don't
because they're playing a bunch of overrated ACC teams.
Didn't
the ACC is one of the most overrated?
Weren't
conference.
They the team? Weren't they the team that upset that your favorite quarterback in the draft, Drake May?
That doesn't have to do with what we're talking about.
Oh, right yes,
now.
It does. I mean, they made Drake May look average, which, by the way, yo ass, New York Giants fan, you need to go watch Hard Knocks, you freaking Rudy.
I saw the clip. That has nothing to impact with Drake May's talent.
By the way,
Riu Nidi. Here's to the world's favorite Lambrusco and one of the most beloved Italian wines worldwide. Here's to its chilled, delightful fizz that springs to life as thousands of tiny bubbles dance in your mouth. Here's to the refreshing taste of Riu Nidi. After a long, hard day, it's the perfect pour you deserve with the company you enjoy. Riu Nidi Lambrusco, the refreshing, lively, and easy-to-drink Italian wine. Riu Nidi on Ice, still nice. Imported by Frederick Wildman & Sons Limited, New York, New York. Campaign finance according to EU Reg 2021-2115.
By the way, because of the hat you're wearing, did you see this little dumbass named Joe on Twitter today talking
shit
about?
Yeah, I saw that asshole.
Instead of XN.
Yeah, to criticize him for not memorizing it, I will say I thought it was a little dumb of an answer for Jaden Daniels to say, I'm going to, like, what do you throw? You throw a touchdown. But I don't think it matters.
Well, no, that's not what he's saying. See, context is key there.
I know, but that's my point, is that it doesn't matter. They're in those meetings. They're building a rapport with the coaches. Like, no coach is going to go, oh, this guy isn't smart enough to figure out my playbook. Pause, that doesn't happen. Pause.
They cut what he said before, I'm going to throw a touchdown. They cut that out in this clip. He literally says right before that, because of the personnel I have, I'll throw the inside slot fade. To Malik
all, right,
Neighbors,
well, all right, well, we're not here to talk about that. I didn't know that part. Right, I'm going to watch the show at some point. Is,
nevertheless, okay. Speaking of LSU ties, Joe, I got something very bad from Big 12 Media Days today.
What?
I think Dave Aranda's cooked.
Oh, he's done. Dude, he's getting fired. I don't know. Like, what is
I
that
hate, supposed I to, hate be? To say that. I think he's cooked. Dave talked about today that he gets lost in the details is how he described it. And in saying, he was like, look, I'm going to, you know, I want to go from A, you know, I'm asked as a head coach in today's world to go from A to M, but I got to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G to get all the way to M, right? You can't do that. And Dave's admitting that he can't pivot. And he comes out and saying, well, why is things changing college football? He says, paying players. Dave, all of this is fun. I think Dave Aranda would arguably be one of the better head coaches in the NFL because he's not having to tie to the personnel, right? Meaning, like, he doesn't have to go out there and draft. Dave has just always been about the coaching part of it, the development part of it. And I just don't – I hate it. I love Dave, but God dog it, man. I just don't think that they have enough, man.
I mean, we said this when we did a hot seat tracker for Dave Aranda during the offseason. I mean, he's just not been built for this NIL era. And I mean, there's reason to believe that Baylor, where they're located in Waco, why they couldn't be a competitive NIL team. I mean, the state of Texas is so much money, and it is a ridiculously affluent alumni base. What are the name? What's the name of the Chippin? What's her name? The HGTV couple. They're low. They own Magnolia or whatever it is. They have loads of money. They fund the hell out of that athletic department.
When you get one of these, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have at least three of their things in your house when you get a wife.
Probably. I'm not afraid to admit this. I used to, I've watched a good amount of HGTV.
Joanna Gaines?
Yeah, Chip and Joanna. I've watched a good amount of HGTV. I used to, in my dorm room, because we didn't get any channels, the only one I could turn on when I came back from wherever I was coming back from on a Friday night, I would sit and watch HGTV while I was drunk and eating calzones. That was my go-to.
You big fatty.
Hey man, I put a lot of weight from this damn calzone. Sorry, what do you
say? Anything from Colorado that stood out today?
Well, the statement that Deion made was what we all were thinking, which is, why would you schedule North Dakota State? I think that they're going to beat them, but if they don't come out swinging,
scheduling though.
Say it again.
Head coaches aren't over scheduling.
No, I know. He made a comment about how he jokingly said, "I hate the athletic director because why couldn't you have given me a freebie? Why couldn't you give me an easy game?"
Can I just say something? I thought today and this week for Colorado and Shedeur Sanders and Deion is a massive win that nobody will discuss. Can I tell you why?
What?
There's nothing viral that went out. You know, when they arrive somewhere, usually chaos follows. And I got to be a little honest. I thought this week when they showed up that chaos would follow. Something about Deion, Shedeur, somebody would say something viral. And look, we still have time for this to happen. I just want to let it be known. We still have time. But because, Joe, they seemed calm, cool, collected, the cool kids on the block, yeah, this is just another media thing for us. It's a win because you're getting into the football side of things. It shows maturity, as my grandfather would say, that the spotlight was on you. But, Joe, they didn't need it. They didn't need it. They were like, we're here to play football. And to be a little honest, if I'm just being a little honest, today I was listening to Shedeur Sanders and he goes, I'm ready for football. And I looked in his eyes and I'm like, oh, okay.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there. I think we're overthinking this a little bit.
Like,
good for them that they answered the questions.
I'm not.
But we're falling for the trap, Blake. We're falling for the trap. Nothing that came from it, so we're sitting here talking about them. We don't need to talk about them. Blake, it's okay.
No, I'm not.
We don't need to talk about them.
Got players like Shedeur can have that switch for when in the offseason it's guts, glamour, whatever, and then he flipped. I'm telling you, the kid flipped.
I have no comment. I just don't care. It's media day. They answered questions I don't mean to be an ass about this.
Tell me, literally, are you going to tell me that anywhere that they've gone in the last year that chaos has not followed?
As somebody who works in production for a large media company, it is nauseating how when there's other more important things happening, but when somebody blinks at Colorado, it has to get brought up. It has to get clipped. A full-length video segment needs to be pulled from a show because somebody looked at somebody at Colorado. All I'm saying is, cool, they didn't. You were falling for the trap. You were talking about what you noticed about his eyes when he was answering a question. You wouldn't say that about anyone else.
Okay, hold on. What did I say to fall into the trap? I didn't say they were going to the playoffs.
You just said, like he flipped a switch. You were talking to me. Overanalyzing them. You're overanalyzing them.
No, I'm not. Didn't anything come out of my mouth that said, Joe, they're going to a ball game?
No, but that's not my point. That's not my point. You took the time to point out the way that he answered a question made you feel good about how he's going to play this year.
Because every time that we talk about them, it's about chaos. For once, thank God that they were actually about football.
That's great. But you know what that means? That means we don't have to talk about them.
No, this is what you do. You go to the extremes because you don't like somebody.
No. USC. Stop. Don't say that I don't like Colorado. That's not true, and that's constantly misconstrued.
We're going to be called racist in the comments.
I just hate the over coverage. Okay, I'm sick of the over coverage.
Thank you for just making my point. You just made my point that you hate the over coverage, so you're going to shit on them.
I'm shitting on, and I just said it. I'm shitting on my own job, the media, over covering them. Because they're easy. The industry that I have a full-time job in is so nauseating at times because we are so desperate for views that we turn nothing because it's a commonly recurring, analytically proven topic that we constantly regurgitate it. That's all I'm trying to say. It has nothing to do with Colorado. Let's talk about Ole Miss, man. I want to talk about Ole Miss.
Ole Miss deep dive.
Yeah.
I before we get to it, I just got to say.
Didn't have to talk about
Colorado. I have two kids, and nobody gives me heartburn more than you.
Good. Good.
All the Italian red pasta, okay? All the red sauce, and I still won't have as much heartburn as when I talk to you.
Yeah, but every day you wake up happy that you know me and you get to work with me. So that's
very true. That is very true. It was funny. I forget this comedian's name. He said his dad. I forget the guy's name, though. His dad ate a whole thing of lasagna. He's from, he's an Italian guy. He's from New York or something. And that he went to the hospital and they thought he had congestive heart failure. But he didn't. It was because he ate so much sodium. Oh, man.
That's going to be you on Sunday night. We'll find out what the truth to that is. But Ole Miss.
All right. Joe, nobody has been talked about more, in my opinion, about a potential amount of success probably this offseason more than Ole Miss. Because Lane Kiffin and his staff went out in the portal. They got Walter Nolan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Trey Amos, et cetera. They really cleaned up in the portal, getting Princely Umanyelen. And it's begged the question for so long, and now that we're getting close to the season, could Ole Miss be a playoff team? Could they make a run? Are they really one of the good teams in the SEC? Tonight we do our deep dive on them. Mm-hmm. What says you about the Ole Miss Rebels?
So first of all, I tweeted about recently some clips of Princely Umanyelen, who has first-round upside, very, very gifted player. Walter Nolan and him fall into this category of players who I think weren't developed in the direction that they needed in order to hit their true potential. It felt like they both stagnated at Texas A&M and at Florida. And I really think that this is an opportunity for them to really ascend and to become two of the better defensive linemen in the country. Ole Miss had a really underrated defense last year. Pete Golding is a guy that we have propped up a ton.
From hundreds into the 50s, which was a massive improvement.
With that leadership of an Alabama-minded defensive coordinator, I really think that they're going to take some strides defensively, which is the biggest key. But I stand by what I think is the most important, is that since the beginning of last year, and you folks know who you are, the doubted Jackson Dart. A lot of people thought, oh, Jackson Dart's going to get benched for Spencer Sanders. And I said, watch. Jackson Dart is a lot better than you guys think he is. And still we sit here and we don't give Jackson Dart the recognition that he deserves. He's one of those guys where his stats aren't necessarily gaudy. But when you put on the tape, you see a player that improves on a year-to-year basis. And more importantly, feels like he's got the mentality, the awareness, the decision-making, all of the things that you look for in a quarterback in their final year to take a huge step forward. I think that as their defense improves and with all these weapons for him to work with Juice Wells and Trey Harris, the Jackson Dart is going to have an enormous season. He's one of my Heisman sleepers, and his success is going to be enough for them to have a 10-2 season. They have got a very winnable schedule to go 10-2, maybe play in the SEC championship game, but more importantly, go to the college football playoff and maybe knock off a Big 10 or Big 12 team that they play in the first round.
Well, let me ask you this. They were 10-2 last year. Wouldn't that be a little bit of a downfall if you're the same? I mean, everything that we're talking about them, Joe, from the aspect of what they brought in from the portal.
But wait, but that 10-2, though, those two losses, they got embarrassed a little bit. I don't think that that's going to be the same case.
I don't think they got embarrassed by Alabama. And by the way, they don't play Alabama this year.
Well, they got smoked by Georgia, which was bad.
Fair. I mean, but Joe, I mean, so they're 11-1. I mean, like that's what we're saying. And by the way, that game's at home. So look, I'm just asking, do you think it would be a little bit of a downturn if you're the same exact record after you brought in one of the best portal classes ever?
No, and the reason why I don't think that it's a downturn, because 10-2 on paper is different than what we saw last year, where Alabama, they completely blew an opportunity to beat a team that they should have beaten. And Georgia, they looked like roadkill. I'm sorry, Ole Miss fans. I'm sorry to say this, but we all know that that was not a competitive game. I think that this year is going to be very different. The reason why I say 10-2 is they just got a really tough draw for their two hardest games, which is having to play Georgia, which is a Death Star, and having going to go to LSU. And LSU is probably pissed about last year. I'm not going to be crazy enough. I'm not an LSU fan, by the way, guys. I'm not an LSU fan. I lost a bet. I'm wearing this hat because of it. But to win
just
on the road.
Just take the hat off. No, I mean, just take
my
the
hair's
hat
messed
off.
Up. I'm not taking the damn hat off. I'm
no, I'm
my
just
bet.
Saying for like next episode.
My point is that I just think that that's too difficult of a situation, just like the inverse last year where LSU had a really good team and they couldn't beat Ole Miss on the road. So the 10-2 for me does not feel like a downgrade. It feels like a great season and a momentum builder for them to go on to go to the playoff. But more importantly, I mean, couldn't we sit here and make the case that a 10-2 SEC team goes to the SEC championship? I think that there's no clear-cut second team.
Yeah, I mean, the second team could. The argument that you would have is, what if Alabama doesn't take a step back? What if Texas doesn't really take a step back? What if LSU figures things out defensively? Like, there are question marks there, too. So I don't want to say 10-2 because, Joe, there's been a lot of years where 11-1 Alabama, 11-1 LSU faces an 11-1 Georgia. So I don't want to go there because, look, regardless if it's East and West, those teams didn't play each other in the regular season anyway. Like, they weren't playing each other. So, look, besides, like, LSU and Bama, I mean. Look, I look at what they brought on defense. You look at the defensive line. I'm actually going to look elsewhere. I look at what they did at DB. Bringing in Isaiah Hamilton, who had 4 interceptions a year ago. But, Joe, I think they brought in the best corner in the portal, and Trey Amos. I am very, very, very high on Trey Amos. Joe, I will tell you this. There's not a player on that defense that I think that Pete Golding was more excited to get more than Trey Amos because, Joe, look what he did in the SEC championship game. Yep. People were like, well, he didn't play a lot. He was sitting behind two what should have been first-round corners, okay, and Tyrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry. He comes out when there's an injury and he balls out. I think the kid can be a first-round pick. Like, that's how high I am on him. He's got length. He's got size. But, Joe, it's just in all three levels that they got better. You know, Chris Paul coming in from Arkansas. Everything that you're adding on the back end, because of how good you can cover, Joe, is going to make that defensive line that you talked about so much better. Think about this. Joe, they added 21 sacks from the portal. 21 sacks from the transfer portal. Do you understand? That is ridiculous. Some teams don't get that literally in a season. So I look at them defensively and say, I know what I'm going to get from Lane majority of the time offensively. But, Joe, if they can start making stops and make more games competitive, that's what makes them more dangerous than anything they brought in offensively. Now, I will say this. I do have a couple of concerns for them. I'm not necessarily worried about them or concerned really about them at running back. Who's the guy there? You know, like, is it
I think they're pretty deep at running back, though. I think they might not have a premier player.
They're deep, but I just don't know if they have that premier player. And they might not need it. But, look, Lane loves the running game. That's the biggest lie is that Lane Kiffin is a pass-happy coach. No, he's not. He loves running the football. But, man, the weapons that they're going to have to work with on the outside with Jackson Dart, as you alluded to, Joe, I think the talent's real. And I do think that their ceiling could be 11-1. Okay? Like I think that their ceiling could be –
yeah.
Because the only thing that you would be talking about would be – me or and saying their ceiling is that they beat LSU in Death Valley. I have them losing to the SEC champion. Other than that, I think they can run the table. Now, if they do that – Joe, they're going to get a rematch with Georgia in the SEC championship game.
Yeah. And to what you're talking about, I think every team has like a real – you can always pick one game that's the defining game. I don't think it's Georgia. I think it is that LSU game. Can you go on the road and can you beat LSU? And it's much easier said than done, but it's,
well,
it's
and I
plausible.
Think they
if they're as good as people think, then yes, it's doable for them to beat LSU.
Well, they go in back-to-back road games, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're at South Carolina one week, and then the next week they're at LSU, correct?
Trap. Yeah. I don't have the schedule up in front of me, but if that is the case,
no,
as we
I'm not
talk
saying
about a lot.
I'm not saying it's a trap. What I'm saying, okay, is you're going on the road. Like, look, man,
Back-to-back road games is the one thing you bring up all the time.
It's the one thing I bring up all the time. In the SEC, it's not favorable. Now, last year, you had a lot of teams that that happened to, and a lot of teams won back-to-back road games. Can they? And look, if you're going to take that next step, look, the toughest game that they have, or the most, the game that they have to win the most is LSU. And it's not because it's just the Magnolia Bowl, whatever. It's mainly due to the fact that, Joe, that game's going to be at night. And look, there's a coach on the other sideline in Brian Kelly who is going to want to get some revenge off of that. And their season rides on that too. So I look at Ole Miss being a game, Ole Miss versus LSU being the game. Joe, I think on October 12th, it's going to be the most premier game that you have.
Absolutely.
Like, without question. And I think Oregon plays Ohio State that day too. Maybe, or maybe.
Oh, that one day has a ridiculous.
It's a ridiculous day. Yeah, ridiculous day. But if you want to talk about the shakeout of the SEC, you pretty much know the shakeout of the Big Ten, right? Like those, like the high profile game in the Big Ten is the top two dudes facing off. Well, the one in the SEC might be teams maybe 4 and 5, maybe 3 and 4 facing off, and it's a premier playoff spot here. Is there any concern from you? Let me ask you this. Is there any concern from you that they got too much from the portal and they don't have enough depth? Like, the injuries do happen.
Yeah, that's always something that we bring up where I think that they're fine on depth. I just think that we always have to acknowledge, hey, there's a lot of new faces in here. There's a shot that maybe so many new guys playing with one another. You still need to develop like a team chemistry, and it's not something that's just done overnight. It's the case in the NFL. It's the case in college football. It's something that just needs to take time for it to really mature. I think if there is one thing that I'm like maybe concerned about, I still don't know what the deal is with their offensive line. I'm hoping that it's going to be better. They added 3 new faces, 3 transfers that are coming into the mix. But I feel like every year we've talked about how underwhelming their offense, not underwhelming, but their offensive line has never been up to par with what's needed to succeed in the SEC on a week-to-week basis.
Joe, I've talked to some people on that staff. I don't think that they're worried about their O-line.
I guess all those new guys that they brought in, they feel pretty good about them.
I guess that they do. Look, man, here's what I will say. Lane does not have the excuse anymore of not having talent. Now, again, injuries can happen, and context has to enter when injuries are occurring. But, man, you wanted pressure. Look, Joe, the truth was, is Lane really didn't have pressure. Lane could go 9-3 at Ole Miss every year, and they would put up a statue of him. And they know that they would. Yeah. They would. I promise you they would.
Well, Joe, let me ask you this, though. At what point, if Mark Stoops gets the treatment that he got last year, where all the Kentucky fans started to get spoiled and they started to be like, he's not going to get us past where we need to get to. At what point does that not happen with Ole Miss?
Well, first off, Lane's doing better than Mark Stoops, but no. Lane's not going to be there long enough. That's going to be another episode that y'all are going to have to tune into December. He's not going to be there. So
your conspiracy theories.
All right, I'll make a bet with you. You ready?
I don't like making bets with you, but sure, what is it?
Okay. You have to wear that specific hat every day on this show for the rest of your life.
No.
If Lane Kiffin does not become a candidate
bad deal. That's a horrible. That is so lopsided. Hell no. He's going to become a candidate. He's going to be named for every opening that happens until he dies. All right,
how about he takes the Florida job?
No, I'm not taking that bet.
All right. Because you know it's true. Look, Joe, I think that they're a playoff team. I think that at worst, I think they have a repeat of last year to some extent. They go 10-2. Joe, they're firmly in the playoff. Maybe they get a playoff game. That's where I am with them. Because here's the thing that's getting lost. I see a lot of SEC fans in particular saying, oh, well, they brought in all this talent. I think they're going to flop. And people forget of how good his coaching staff is.
Yeah.
Lane has been a great coach. The thing now is, now that you have all this talent, because Joe, look, he didn't have this at USC. Remember, they were going through scholarship reductions because of the Pete Carroll stuff that was going on. He has had some bad situations that he has not had this amount of talent around him. He's had some really good pieces, just not this amount. I don't think he's ever had a defense like this either.
I think you bring up a compelling conversation, though, is that if there is some sort of an underwhelm where they do finish, they would really need to F up to go 8-4. But if they go 9-3 and miss the playoff,
the bottom floor.
If they go 9-3 and miss the playoff and lose a game that they're not supposed to, he will be rightfully criticized, I think, by the rest of the SEC. Maybe the fans aren't as upset, but I would argue that I push back on that. I think the fans would be really upset if they go 9-3, they miss the playoff, because there's clearly a commitment from the alumni base right now to fund what he's trying to build.
All right, fair.
I mean, we talk expectations with all these guys. I feel like as we talk the upside and the confidence that we have in them, it's also important to talk about if they fail to succeed, how much pressure is on them. Dan Lanning, there's less pressure. Lane Kiffin, there's a lot more.
Hold on, I think we're getting some breaking news.
Oh, shit. About what?
All right. We'll see. There's just some rumblings about some coaches. So let me just to save our hide for just a moment. Joe, there is a potential that a head coach in the SEC may not even make it to the season. It is not a high profiled one.
They just fire Clark Lee. Poor Clark Lee.
It's not Clark Lee.
All right, tell me after.
I will just say this. Just know that you have been warned if something happens. That's all I'm going to say. Right, keep your antennas up. All right. We will see y'all again on
To Be Determined.
On
Sunday, Monday are currently to be determined because of a commitment that Blake and I made to something. It is a form of content, and we will hopefully be able to announce that soon.
I love Rihanna.
End the show.
What did I say?
I don't know.
What? I love Rihanna.
This has gone long enough. I'm sweating my balls off. Let's go.
We'll see y'all soon. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
Riu Nitti. Here's to the world's favorite Lambrusco and one of the most beloved Italian wines worldwide. Here's to its chilled, delightful fizz that springs to life as thousands of tiny bubbles dance in your mouth. Here's to the refreshing taste of Riu Nitti. After a long, hard day, it's the perfect pour you deserve with the company you enjoy. Riu Nitti Lambrusco, the refreshing, lively, and easy-to-drink Italian wine. Riu Nitti on Ice, still nice. Imported by Frederick Wildman & Sons Limited, New York, New York. Campaign finance according to EU Reg 2021-2115.